Welcome to Double Portion Inheritance with Maria Marola, brought to you by DoublePortionInheritance.com. Since 1981, Maria heard the call of Yahuwah to become a watchman to the house of Yisrael and to those within the traditional Christian church. She was instructed to warn them against the false doctrines and pagan traditions of men. After 25 years of studying Scripture, the word of Yahuwah came to Maria again in 2007 as she was called out of the corporate world to become a full-time intercessor and prophetic teacher. The name of the ministry, Double Portion Inheritance, was given to her after she received the revelation of the two houses of Yisrael from Ezekiel 37:16. The mission of this ministry is to bring together the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph for the return of the Messiah, Yahushua. And now, Maria Marola.
Hello, Mishpoka, friends, family, and Messiah. Today I'm going to be continuing Melchizedek and the Law of the Kinsman Redeemer. Last week I was explaining that the book of Jasher is the only source where Judaism gets the idea that Melchizedek, who met with Abraham in Genesis chapter 14, they say that that was Shem, the son of Noah. But the only place where it actually says this is in the book of Jasher. There is no support for this in Scripture. Scripture does not support the idea that Noah's son Shem was ever a high priest. It does not support the idea that Noah's son Shem was ever Melchizedek or the king of Jerusalem. And last week I explained that there are three different versions of the book of Jasher, and they all have serious inconsistencies when compared against Scripture. The book of Jasher says that there were 15 plagues in Egypt before Yahuwah delivered Israel out of Egypt, but Scripture tells us there were only 10 plagues. There are many such consistencies like this in the book of Jasher. Therefore, we cannot look to the book of Jasher as a reliable source to prove that the same Melchizedek who met with Abraham was Shem, the son of Noah. Now, last week I was explaining to you why I believe that Yahuwah allowed the Jewish people to believe the notion that Noah's son Shem was the same Melchizedek who met with Abraham. You see, after the Babylonian captivity, the house of Judah stopped pronouncing the Creator's name, Yahuwah, and they simply began calling him Hashem, which means the name. Well, Noah's son Shem means name. And so it's interesting that Melchizedek is Yahuwah himself. After all, you know that he's the one that met with Adam and Eve in the garden and covered them with skins after they sinned. Well, who would have performed the sacrifice for them? It had to be the pre-incarnate Messiah, Yahushua, who is also Yahuwah. And so it's interesting that they call him Hashem, and yet they believe that it was Shem who was Melchizedek. Well, as I've been explaining the last few weeks, Yahuwah has prophesied that their eyes would be blinded to who their Messiah is. And so now we see something kind of interesting here, is that Shem's son named Elam, his name actually means hidden. And it comes from a root word, alam, which means to veil from sight, to conceal, to blind, to hide, to secret. And it also comes from this other word for eternity, olam, which means concealed. It means eternity. It means everlasting, without end. And Melchizedek is said to be one who has neither beginning of days nor end of days, but he is a priest forever, without end. He's the everlasting father of Isaiah 9:6. Shem, Noah's son, is a prophetic picture of the heavenly father whose name has been hidden and concealed by the house of Judah. And because the house of Judah attempted to conceal his name from the Gentiles, his identity has been concealed from them as well. Similarly, we see in Genesis 38 that Judah concealed his son Shelah from Tamar by not sending him to her as promised, and so Tamar concealed her identity to Judah in order to force him to make good on his promise. Her true identity was veiled, just as our Messiah's identity to the Yehudi or the Jewish people to this day is veiled. And in Romans 11:7, the Apostle Shaul says, Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. You see, in Genesis 38, when Judah sent his friend to seek out Tamar to give her the goat, she could not be found. Hence, we read that Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for. Tamar is a picture of the Gentiles, and because Judah concealed her rightful inheritance from her, he too was blinded to who she was when she was disguised as a harlot. It is as if Yahuwah himself has allowed the Yehudi or the Jews to believe the notion that Shem was the high priest who met with Abraham because they're the ones who have hidden the name, the Shem, from the Gentiles. And in return for their concealment of his name, they are now blinded to who he really is. It says in Mishle or Proverbs 30 verse 4, it says, who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell? Who was the one who has ascended and descended? Ephesians tells us. The Apostle Shaul wrote in Ephesians 4, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And so what is the Shem, or the name of the one who ascended and descended? Well, the one who ascended and descended is Yahuwah, and his son's name is Yahushua, because they are one and the same. Judah has concealed his name, and because of this, he has reaped blindness so that he cannot see who the high priest Melchizedek really is. Shem's firstborn son, his name is Elam, which reveals that his name and identity has remained concealed, hidden, a secret, veiled from sight. Now that I've proven that Noah's son Shem could not have been Melchizedek, we can narrow it down to either King David or the Messiah, Yahushua. David is a closer fit because he does come from the tribe of Judah. And while David did indeed die, Yahuwah promised David that there would not fail to be a king on the throne from David's descendants. We read this in 1 Kings 9:5. The prophecy in Psalm 110:4 says, Yahuwah has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, this prophecy was about King David, but King David is a prophetic type of Messiah who is from the house of Yehuda or Judah. Our Messiah, Yahushua, was born into the tribe of Yehuda or Judah because Melchizedek is both a king and a priest. And the scepter to rule as king was given to Judah in Genesis 49:10. Romans 1:3 states, concerning his son, Yahushua Messiah, our master, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. In other words, Messiah, Yahushua, had a pre-incarnate existence, but then he was made of the seed of David. He was given a human body. You see, the order of Melchizedek is seen in David and his seed. Beginning with 2 Samuel 8:17 until Ezekiel 48:11, we see 52 references in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, to the Zadok, or the Zadok, priesthood. And who are they? Well, the Hebrew Strong's Concordance tells us it is number H6659, Zadok, and it is the name of 8 or 9 Israelites, it says. The Brown's Driver Briggs Lexicon gives a brief history of the Zadok priesthood. It's number H6659. Zadok means righteous. And it says the high priest, son of Ahitub of the house of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, and 11th in descent from Aaron, joined David after Saul's death and supported him against Absalom, and Adonijah anointed Solomon as king, a priest, son of Meraioth, father of Meshulam, of the house of Ahitub, apparently a nephew of the father of Jerusha, the wife of King Uzziah, and mother of King Jotham of Judah, son of Bana, and repairer of the wall of Jerusalem in the time of Nehemiah, son of Emer, and repairer of the wall of Jerusalem in the time of Nehemiah, a leader of the people in the time of Nehemiah, a scribe appointed by Nehemiah as one of the treasurers over the storehouse, a valiant warrior of the tribe of Benjamin who joined David at Hebron. The Zadok priesthood were a type and shadow, a precursor to the final resurrected ones who will be part of the priesthood of Messiah during his millennial kingdom, as we read in Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 5:10. Now, we know that King David was a mere mortal human being, so he was not the one who met with Abraham in Genesis 14:18. So why does Yahuwah say to David in Psalm 110:4, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek"? Well, King David was from the tribe of Judah, and the Messiah was prophesied to come through his seed. Miriam, the mother of our Messiah, Yahushua, was from the tribe of Judah, and so was his earthly father, Yahusef. Even though Yahushua was conceived by the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, his physical body was 100% human of the seed or the lineage of King David. Now, even though Israel has not had an earthly king since the Roman siege in 70 CE, our Messiah is the one who will carry on the throne of David as prophesied. We read in 1 Melakim, or 1 Kings 8:25, it says, "Therefore now, Yahuwah Elohim of Israel, keep with your servant Dawid," or David, "my father, that you promised him, saying, there shall not fail you a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that your children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me." In 1 Melakim, or 1 Kings 9:5, it says, "Then I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to Dawid," or David, "your father, saying, there shall not fail you a man upon the throne of Israel." If there would not fail to be a man on the throne of King David's lineage, then why is there not an earthly king today in Jerusalem? Where is the throne of King David today? Well, in Matityahu, or Matthew 26:64, Yahushua said, he says, "Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." He said this to the leadership of the Sanhedrin in his day. In Mark 14:62, he said, "I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." In Ibrahim, or Hebrews 1:3, it says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person," meaning the person of Elohim, and it says, "upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high." In 1 Kefa, or 1 Peter 3:22, it says, "He has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of Elohim, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him." You see, beloved, this is telling us that there has not failed to be someone on the throne after the lineage of King David. But it's not down here on the earthly Jerusalem. It's in the heavenly Jerusalem, which is in eternity. In Hazon, or Revelation 5, verse 5, it says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Yehuda, or Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Elohim sent forth into all the earth." You see, the one who is seated on the throne in eternity is Yahushua, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. You see, there has not failed to be a king on the throne, just as Yahuwah has promised to Dawid or David. He said that there would not fail to be a king to sit on his throne. And since we are told in Romans that our Messiah is after the seed of David according to the flesh, that he was made after the seed of David according to the flesh, we see that Yahuwah has kept his promise. There is a king on David's throne, but not on the earthly Jerusalem, but in the heavenly Jerusalem in eternity. Now, I want to note the difference between the high priest Melchizedek, who is referred to as an individual, and those priests who are after the order of Melchizedek. In Ibrahim or Hebrews 7, it says, "For this Melchizedek," this is Hebrews 7:7, it says, "For this Melchizedek," it's referring to him in the singular, and it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High Elohim, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of Elohim, abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." You'll notice that it's saying how great this man was. We can see from these verses that I just read, Melchizedek is one single individual, but he does have an order of priests who will follow in his footsteps. Who are they who belong to this order of priests? Well, I'm going to be reading these verses to you, and these are addressed to those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. We read in Revelation 14:4, there's a group of 144,000 who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And they have the name of the Father, Yahuwah, written in their foreheads. When those who are part of the remnant of the seed of the woman being Mother Jerusalem, those who are part of the seed of the woman are caught up into the air to meet Yahuwah, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, they will be changed into incorruption or immortality. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15:42 through 43, this is when they will serve in the priesthood of Melchizedek during the millennial reign of Messiah here on earth. In Revelation 20, verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahushua, and for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. And there we see these who are sitting on the throne are ruling and reigning with the Messiah. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In Hazon or Revelation 1:6, and it says, "And he has made us kings and priests unto Elohim and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In Hazon or Revelation 5:10, it says it again. It says, "And he has made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Beloved, it could not be clearer. The same Melchizedek who met with Abraham is none other than the pre-incarnate Messiah, Yahushua, who is also the same one who made animal skins for Adam and Eve after they sinned in the garden. Melchizedek cannot be anyone else beside our Messiah, Yahushua, for he is the only one who qualifies to be the eternal high priest from the tribe of Yehuda or Judah. You see, beloved, Yahuwah Elohim has a dual identity as both the Father and the Son. If Yahuwah and Yahushua are two distinctly separate beings, then how can they both be married to Israel? If Yahuwah told Israel that he will remarry her, and then Yahushua is identified as the bridegroom, logic dictates that Yahuwah is Yahushua. Yahuwah is the husband of Israel. We read that in Isaiah 54, verse 5. Yahuwah divorced Israel. We read this in Jeremiah 3, 6 through 10. Also in Hosea 2, verse 2. Yahuwah says that Israel will be remarried to him in the future, not his son. We read that Yahuwah will marry Israel again in Hosea 2:16 and also Hosea 2:19 and Jeremiah 3:14. He says, "I'm married to the backslider." Yahushua is the bridegroom who will in the future be married to Israel. Israel is the bride of Messiah. So therefore, Yahuwah is both the Father and the Son. He has portrayed both roles. In the Tanakh or the Old Testament, Yahuwah has shown himself to be the Father of Israel. And in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Testament, he has revealed himself as the firstborn son, Israel. He came to represent the nation of Israel, the firstborn son. And so now we understand that Melchizedek is both king and priest because Melchizedek is both father and son. He is both lion and lamb. He is the Aleph and the Tah. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. You see, beloved, we see the dualities, this dual nature of our Creator, Yahuwah, over and over in Scripture because he came for both houses of Israel. He came to portray the twin goats for both houses. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break and we'll be right back.
Hello, friends and supporters of Double Portion Inheritance Ministries. Back in 2002, Maria Merola had a series of prophetic dreams which prompted her to begin journaling and blogging. Since that time, Maria has written over 200 ebooks on various topics related to the Messiah, the Torah, the Feasts of Yahuwah, the Epistles of Paul, and end-time prophecy from the books of Revelation, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Maria does not sell her books because the revelations that she receives from the Spirit of Yahuwah are not for profit. However, Maria does accept donations to her ministry based on what is written in Torah and also in 1 Corinthians 9:9. "You shall not muzzle the ox while he treads out the grain." Therefore, Maria offers 65 of her ebooks on a flash drive as a free gift for a minimum donation of $70. Also included on the flash drive is a Passover Haggadah in English for beginners, Maria's MP3 song entitled Children of Promise, and several spiritual warfare prayers. Two versions of the flash drive are available. Maria offers a royal blue flash drive bracelet with the name of Yahuwah in English as well as Paleo-Hebrew letters. Also available is a flash drive that can be worn around the neck with a lanyard. Simply visit the website doubleportioninheritance.com and go to the PayPal button to make your donation. Otherwise, you can mail a check to Maria Marola, P.O. Box 231161, Sacramento, California, 95823. Maria is also available for speaking engagements at your conference, home fellowship, or congregation. If you would like to host Maria, write to her at doubleportioninheritance@gmail.com.
Okay, beloved, we are back from the break, and this is going to be the last segment of Melchizedek and the Law of the Kinsman Redeemer. Many of you may be asking yourselves, Maria, why do you make such a big deal about teaching the oneness of the Father and the Son? Why is this subject so important to you? Well, the reason is in Yohanan or John chapter 8, verse 24, listen to the words of our Messiah Yahushua. He said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, if you read this verse in the King James Version, it says, if you believe not that I am he, okay, and that word he is in italics. Now, something to take note of, whenever you see a word in the King James Version that is italicized, it means that the word was not there originally, and the translators added it in to help the sentence structure flow better. So from this one verse, we understand that Messiah, Yahushua, is telling us, he says, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. In other words, what he's telling us is, you must believe that I am the same I am who met with Moses at the burning bush. Now, some people have tried to argue the point that the words I am in the Greek do not mean the same thing as the words I am in the Hebrew. However, let's look at these words in John 8:24. The word for I is ego in Greek. It's number G1473. In the Greek Strong's Concordance, and it simply means I or me. And then the word for am is I me. I me means I exist. Now, what was he saying when he said, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins? Well, the verses preceding this verse are not asking him, are you the Messiah? He's not answering to the question, are you the Messiah? He's saying, unless you believe that I'm the same eternal one, the same I am who met with Moses at the burning bush, he says, you shall die in your sins. But how can we be sure that John 8:24 is describing the same I am who met with Moses at the burning bush? Well, let's go down a few verses to John 8:58, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And there you have it. He is using the same Greek words, ego, I me, meaning I am. You see, in the Hebrew, the words I am in Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, when he met with Moshe at the burning bush, he says, Exodus 3:15, here's what he says, and Elohim said moreover unto Moshe, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, Yahuwah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, he just declared that his name is Yahuwah in this verse. But in the previous verse, in Exodus 3:14, he says, "And Elohim said unto Moshe, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Okay, so let's look at the Hebrew translation, the original Hebrew, in Exodus 3:14, where it says, "I am that I am." It says, "Hayah Asher Hayah." That's what it actually says in Hebrew. And there's two words here. Hayah is number 1961 in the Hebrew Strong's Concordance, and it means to exist. And then the word asher is number 834, and it means who, which, what, that. Now, I'm going to unlock the mystery of these three words, I am that I am. First of all, let me give you a little background here. As I already stated in Exodus 3:14 through 15, Yahuwah told Moshe what proper name he is to be called for all generations, Yod Heh Wah Heh, Yahuwah. In ancient paleopictographs, these letters are seen from right to left. Yod means the hand or the arm. It is a picture of a hand or an arm. The Heh means the breath or the spirit, the ruach. The Wah means the nail or the tent peg, and the Heh, the last Heh, means, once again, the breath or the spirit, the ruach. These four letters are called the Tetragrammaton. So let's read it again. In Shemot, or Exodus 3:15, "And Elohim said moreover unto Moshe, thus you shall say unto the children of Israel, Yahuwah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my Shem, my name and my character, forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." Did you see this, beloved? Yahuwah said to Moshe, "This is my name forever." This means that he does care about how we say his name. Okay, so let me explain the I am that I am. A lot of people will use this as an excuse to say, well, nobody knows how to pronounce his name. His name is I am that I am. Okay, in order to understand these verses in Exodus 3:14 and 15, we need context. So let's go back to Exodus 3:13. "And Moshe said unto Elohim, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" So he's asking Yahuwah, what shall I tell them your name is? And now in the next verse, Exodus 3:14, "And Elohim said unto Moshe, I am that I am." In other words, Hayah Asher Hayah. In other words, I exist because I exist. That is literally what it means. I am that I am literally means I exist because I exist. And so in Exodus 3:14, he's telling Moshe, I exist because I exist. And he said, "Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." In other words, tell the children of Israel, I exist has sent me unto you. Then in Exodus 3:15, he says, "And Elohim said moreover unto Moshe, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, Yahuwah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So which is it? First, he tells him that his name is I Am That I Am, or Hayah Asher Hayah. But then in the next verse, he tells him his name is Yahuwah. So which is it? Well, both. And let me explain. You see, the name Yahuwah is made up of three primitive roots. And we can actually find these three primitive roots in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance as three individual words. First, the word Hayah means to be, to exist, and it's number 1961. And then we have the word Huwah. Huwah is number 1931, and it means he, she, or it. And then there's Hawa, which means to breathe, to exist, and it's number 1933 in the Hebrew Strong's Concordance. And so the name Yahuwah is made up of these three words, Hayah, Huwah, Hawah. In other words, it means I am he who breathed. I am he who exists. So his name is really Hayah, Huwah, Hawah, but of course it's been condensed because what he's done is he's taking a statement, I am he who breathed, I am he who exists, and he condenses it into a name, Yahuwah. It would be the equivalent of somebody asking me, who are you, Maria? And I say, I am Maria Marola the Italian. And if I say a full sentence about myself, I am Maria Marola the Italian. But for brevity's sake, I say, I'm the Italian one. I'm Maria the Italian. Okay, so I've first give you a statement that describes who I am. I am Maria Marola the Italian. Or I can shorten it to, I'm Maria the Italian. And so this is what Yahuwah has done. First, he gives a description of himself, a statement, I am he who exists. And then in the next verse, Exodus 3:15, he condenses it into a name and says, Yahuwah. So that's why people get confused. He is the same I am that our Messiah was talking about in John 8:24. He says, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Beloved, this is indeed a salvation issue. And this is why I do make a big deal about it. It's important to believe that our Messiah, Yahushua, is the same I am who met with Moshe at the burning bush, who met with Abraham as Melchizedek. Okay, beloved, for the rest of this show, I'm going to be reading an email that was sent to me by a Roman Catholic woman. She was challenging me on the oneness of the Father and the Son. And so I'm going to read the questions that she had for me, and I'm also going to read my responses. The first question that she asked me was, to whom was Jesus' atoning sacrifice offered, if Jesus is not a distinct person from the Father? And here was my answer to her. I said the sacrifice was that of a lamb, not a human sacrifice. Even though we know that our Messiah was not a literal animal, he came to represent the Passover lamb. Similarly, we know that Yahuwah was not a sinner, yet he chose to represent sinners. Yahuwah the Father offered up himself. Let's read Hebrews 7:27. It says, who needs not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's? For this he did once when he offered up himself. Therefore, the sacrifice was offered to Yahuwah, who is both Father and Son. In Isaiah 9:6, it tells us that the child that is born to us, the son that is given, shall also be called the everlasting Father. Okay, the second question that she asks me, to whom did Jesus pray? And here's my answer. People often ask this famous question, who was Messiah praying to when he hung on the tree? Well, the answer is very simple. In Romans 8:26, we read that the Spirit of Elohim prays through us and makes intercession for us to the Spirit of Elohim in heaven. Yahuwah Elohim is omnipresent, which means everywhere at once. And so Yahushua had the Spirit of Elohim in him, and that is how the Spirit of Elohim in Yahushua was also praying to the Spirit of Elohim in heaven. When we as humans pray, it is the Spirit of Elohim who prays through us to the Spirit of Elohim in heaven. Elohim prays to Elohim. Just like the River of Life in Revelation 21:1 is a picture of the Father on the throne, our Messiah described himself as living water in John 7:38. This living water, this river of life, flows through many streams, which are people, and it makes its way back to the original source again, the river of life. In Romans 8:26-27, it says, "But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, for he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Elohim." You see, the Holy Spirit of Elohim prays for us to the Holy Spirit of Elohim on the throne in heaven. Therefore, when Yahushua prayed to the Father, the Spirit of Elohim in him was praying to the Spirit of Elohim in heaven. Okay, the third question that she asked me, whose will did he come to do? Okay, and here is my response. I said, the answer is obvious. He came to do the will of his Father, but he himself is also the Father. Ephesians 1:11 tells us that Elohim works all things according to the counsel of his own will. This means that he counsels with himself. In the same way that we as humans have three parts, mind, body, and spirit, the Father is a spirit, or the breath, and the ideas he has in his spirit are processed through his mind and then implemented into the physical world through the Son, who is the visible image. We also take counsel with ourselves when we have an idea, and then we think about it, talk about it, and then write it down as a plan or blueprint. And then we finally implement that plan in a physical and tangible way. All our body parts, body, mind, spirit, work in harmony to implement our ideas. Yahuwah is the same as we are because we were created in his image. The Father is the mind, and the Son is the physical implementation of what is in his heart and mind to do. Yahuwah uses his mind and spirit to conceive or formulate a plan, but then he makes for himself a human body, the Son, to bring it to pass. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that the child born to us is also the everlasting Father. This means that the Father chose to make himself human like the firstborn Son, which is Israel. In Jeremiah 31:9, he says, Israel is my firstborn son. So, did the Father have two firstborn sons? No. His firstborn son is Israel, and then he came in the flesh to represent the firstborn son and to roleplay for us what an obedient son is supposed to look like. Okay, this woman's final question to me is this. If the Father is spirit and Jesus simply manifested as the image of the Father, was he both truly divine and truly human, or just a divine person who appeared to be human? Here was my answer to her. I said, the Father is indeed spirit, as our Messiah said so to the woman at the well. In John 4:24, it says, Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And yes, our Messiah is 100% human and 100% divine all at the same time. It was necessary for him to be both. Why? Well, in order for him to be the perfect sinless lamb, he had to be perfect, and he declared that only the Father is perfect. In Matthew 5:48, he says, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." In Mark 10:18, and Yahushua said, he says, "Why do you call me good?" He said, "There is none good but one, that is Elohim." You see, Yahushua was declaring mortal humanity is not good because he was going to die. But the part of him that is Elohim is good. And when he resurrected, he would then be back on the throne as Elohim, who is perfect and good. The Passover ordinance says that the lamb has to be without blemish. In Exodus 12:5, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Now, the Hebrew word in this passage for without blemish is the word tamim. It's number 8549, and it literally means perfect. In 1 Peter 1:19, it says, "With the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So Messiah Yahushua had to be 100% human in order to represent sinful mankind. That is why Paul wrote that Yahushua was the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." You see, the Hebrew word for mankind is Adam. So was our Messiah the last human? Well, you could say he was the last human high priest. After he resurrected, he would then be the firstborn among many sons. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Adam was the first human to be charged with leadership, a high priest type, but he failed. Our Messiah is the last Adam, the last human high priest who overcame. And when he resurrected, he then became the firstborn immortal high priest. And we, his followers, can also be born again of incorruptible seed, so that we too will be part of his eternal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9 declares, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And that concludes the teaching of Melchizedek and the law of the kinsman redeemer. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. Yahuwah make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast and that you are encouraged in your walk with Messiah through the teaching. To visit Maria's website and download the MP3 version of this teaching, visit DoublePortionInheritance.com. That's www.doubleportioninheritance.com. This ministry is made possible through the prayers and support of listeners like you. If you would like to make a donation to Double Portion Inheritance, write to Maria Marola, P.O. Box 231161, Sacramento, California 95823. That's P.O. Box 231161. Sacramento, California, 95823, or via the PayPal donate button at doubleportioninheritance.com. On behalf of Maria and all the ministry team at Double Portion Inheritance, may Yahuwah bless you.